Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Tim Scott, and welcome to this week's podcast of History Dweebs. This week, the topic is freak shows. Time to get your freak on. We're going to talk about the history of freak shows and some of the more colorful characters that participated in those shows. So, as always, my co-host here on History Dweebs is the incomparable Brandy, Blue Hair Beauty Herman. How are you, Brandy?
Well, I'm well now. How are you, Tim?
I'm fine. And, of course, we're joined by the distinguished Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you, Charles?
Well, I am finer than a frog hair split four ways, Timothy.
Man, that's pretty fine.
I really am going to quit teaching you things.
Okay, so let's on to the freak shows. So, Brandy, won't you tell us a little bit about the history of freak shows?
Well, they've actually been around England since the 1600s. They included things like giants, dwarves, fat people, very thin people, conjoined twins. And they even, since it was back in the 1600s, they even had just people from exotic countries that were there.
Like Canada or something?
Yes, definitely like Canada, London. Yeah, those kinds of things. Freak shows were a particularly popular form of entertainment during the Victorian period. Everybody loves a freak. Tom Norman, the Silver King, was the English counterpart to P.T. Barnum. And he exhibited his performers in storefronts and out on the streets, wherever he could get booked, wherever he could make money and get jobs, he would exhibit his freaks. He started his career back in the 1870s when he started managing Miss Eliza Jenkins, the skeleton woman, the balloon-headed baby.
Actually, that's what we called Logan when he was born. The big-headed baby.
And it must have been tough childbirth.
Oh, my God.
Actually, Renee
especially
named,
for the skeleton woman.
Actually, Renee named Logan the big-headed baby.
He stated in his autobiography that back in those days, you could exhibit anything. You could exhibit a needle, an anchor, a flea, an elephant. It was not the show, it was the tale that you told with the show.
Yeah, people were less sophisticated and more gullible back then.
Right.
I find that hard to believe.
Freak shows were also essential components of circuses in America. Ringling Brothers used them all the time. Ringling Brothers featured people like Daisy and Violet Hilton. They were conjoined twins, Johnny Eck, Prince Radian, the living torso, Harry Earl, the midget who falls in love with Cleopatra, the trapeze artist. They actually continued on in carnivals and midways all through America up through the 20th century, and I believe there are still a few that are still active now.
I believe they call those Walmart.
They do.
Yes, I do.
And you don't have to pay admission.
You do not
but have you to can pay get admission, popcorn.
But yes, you can get popcorn, yes.
Nice. Where once there were 105 sideshows touring with circuses and carnivals across the United States, there are now just a handful. It's become a business much like pornography, where it's just a shameful business. They've explained most things with genetics. So now there's only a handful left, and most of the time, if you truly have an oddity, you can make more money, showing it on the internet.
Yeah, now it's reality TV. It's
well, sure.
It's reality
You're Bruce
TV.
Jenner.
Exactly. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more later about, was this, were the participants of the freak shows, were they victims of, were they being exploited? When we have our great debate between you and the Colonel a little bit later on in the show.
I welcome it.
One of the features that all the freak shows sort of had in common was that they had geeks, and geeks were kind of the low end, the bottom rung of the freaks. The freaks would not associate with the geeks. The geeks were people who were hired to do outrageous acts and draw attention to themselves. Generally, they were hired, and when these circuses would travel from town to town, generally they would just hire local guys to be the geeks. And what the geeks would do were to do things like chase and bite the heads off live chickens and just anything. They didn't really have a skill or a deformity per se. They just they were generally like drug addicts or alcoholics. They just needed some money, so you just hire your local drug addict to go out and bite the head off a chicken.
I knew that kid. I knew that guy.
Actually,
they were pretty much like the cousin that used to come over at Christmas that everybody wondered about.
I think I dated him.
In high school there was this kid that we would our cafeteria, we would after we finished lunch, we would pile all of our uneaten food onto one plate, and we'd give the kid like a couple bucks, and it would be gross. I mean, he'd eat it all.
So this poor starving child, you were a bully.
I wasn't starving.
He was obviously starving, but
no,
if he's eating all your leftovers.
He was making, he was earning a living, and he would get like a couple bucks.
He was earning a living.
He would eat like, half-eaten bowls of chili and mixed with spaghetti, mixed with fish, whatever that was,
That's so gross.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty gross. But that was the same role the geeks played in these freak shows. And they were, like I said, they were like the bottom rung of all the freaks. And the freaks would not really have anything to do with them, because the freaks thought that they actually had a talent or they brought something to the table, where the geeks were just like anyone they could pick up off the street to do
so
these.
The bearded lady was looking down upon
Yeah, them. They did. They
well, she just, had a talent.
Yeah, I don't know if she had a talent, but they felt
she
somewhat special. And the geeks were just someone who, they would hire off the street and to do these gross things. But that's where the geeks, and then
much like you do at times.
Yeah, I do it from time to time. We have one of the more, but not all the freaks were victims of, were being exploited or taken advantage of. One of the most famous of all the freaks was a midget named, I guess that's a wrong word, right? Short person.
Little person.
He was
little
a dwarf,
person.
Actually.
Okay. Dwarf, okay. Named Tom Thumb, or he was actually born Charles Sherwood Stratton on January 4th in 1938. He was born to normal-sized parents, and he had normal-sized siblings, but his paternal grandmothers both were short people, little people, and he had stopped growing at age 6 months. And they took him. His parents took him to the doctor, and they told the doctor told the parents that he was unlikely to grow much more,
unless he quit smoking.
Well, smoking did stunt his growth.
Stunted your growth.
Stunted his growth greatly.
Yeah. And he was at age 5. He was 25 inches tall, which is like a little over 2 foot tall, and weighed only 15 pounds. P.T. Barnum, of course, as Brandy mentioned, the famous showman, had a relative who became aware of Stratton in Connecticut, where he was born, and she told Barnum about him, and Barnum reached out to the Stratton family and offered his Stratton's father $3 a week if he would allow him to put Charles on exhibit in New York, which the family agreed to. And Barnum,
good parenting right there.
Yeah, well, Barnum gave Stratton, changed his name to Tom Thumb, which is based on English folklore of a little person. And he also gave him the net title of General, so he became General Tom Thumb. And without even, you know, even being, without serving any time in the military, he became a general, which is really impressive. But Barnum taught young, and I'm just going to refer to him from now on as Tom Thumb. He taught young Tom how to perform, including singing, dancing, telling jokes, taught him how to imitate famous people in history. And the two actually became very close friends and lifelong friends. And when I said it, Tom was not, you know, exploited. Well, of course he was exploited, but he benefited greatly from it. He ended up becoming a very wealthy man and actually bailed Barnum out later on in his life when he ran into some tough financial times. So, you know, Tom Thumb did quite well in the business. He started performing in 1842 at age 5. But Barnum would build him as being age 11 to make it even more sensational. And he grew up into his teens, where he eventually reached 2 feet 11 inches tall. In the early 1860s, Tom met and fell in love with another short person, Lavina Warren, who also performed for Barnum. The two fell in love and were married on February 10th, 1863.
And there was quite a scandal behind that.
Yeah, Chuck's got this whole soap opera he wants to go into. All right, Chuck, well, go ahead.
Mr. Barnum also found, for his show, a man, a small man, named George Washington Morrison Nutt. And he put him in the show, too.
God.
Now, he was not as talented or as handsome as Mr. Tom Thumb. And he got a lower rank. He was known as Commodore Nutt. Now, Commodore fell in love.
What is a Commodore, by the way? What kind of ranking is that?
I think it's a nautical.
I believe it's a singer in a R&B band.
It's Lionel Richie, exactly.
Yeah. All right, good.
Now, Mr. Barnum paid $30,000 to employ this young man to his parents.
He really overpaid for him, since he only was giving Tom Thumb $3 a week.
Yeah, but he gave him a lower rank. Now he, Mr.
Where is that? He could boss
Commodore Nutt also fell in love with Lavinia. And
I mean,
at one time,
well, there couldn't have been many options.
At one time, it was such a fierce, fierce rivalry that they came to blows.
So there was some altercation over this young lady.
There was a physical altercation, which was the start of midget wrestling.
That is not
true.
That's
not true.
That is not true.
Tom Nutt and Commodore Nutt and General Thumb had the first midget wrestling match.
No.
Well, anyway.
I say no to that.
I call bullshit on that, too. But Tom Thumb, even though there was this
Commodore Nutt did exist.
Confrontation, as Chuck says, the colonel says, the wedding Tom Thumb and Lavina Warren were married on February 10th. It was quite the event in New York City. They had to block off like 4 city blocks for people who wanted to see the young couple. And so it was a big deal. The wedding made front page news around the country. It became somewhat a diversion for many people because the Civil War was going on. And at that time, it wasn't going very well for the North. So people like kind of lost herself in the story.
So she was like the Lady Di of her time.
Kind of like Lady Di, only much shorter.
Well, her dress was made out of one silk glove.
Their honeymoon, on their honeymoon trip, Tom and his new lovely bride.
Can you just FedEx them somewhere?
Lavina. were a guest at the White House of President Lincoln. So the couple got to meet.
He was quite tall man.
He was quite tall. He was 6 foot tall. So they got to meet the president. And then, as I said, the couple continued to tour with Marnum and became quite wealthy. In January 1884, Barnum booked a trip for them to Europe, where they also became very, very popular. They performed for Queen Victoria at Buckingham Palace. They actually, it was kind of funny, the Queen actually loved Tom Thumb, and but one of her dogs did not, and then started attacking Tom Thumb, and he took his...
Like a chew toy?
Yeah, it was...
Did he squeak?
It was a poodle, I think. And he took his cane.
Damn poodles.
He took the cane.
Now, would you put the colonel, the general, down, Fluffy? Don't eat the general, Fluffy.
Apparently, Thumb took his walking stick and like beat the hell out of the dog, and you know the royal family were just cracking up over it. So
the dog was an asshole.
Yeah,
the dog was an asshole, obviously.
Now, the couple, Tom and Lavina, never did have children, but everywhere they went to kind of add to the story, Barnum would borrow a child from the local orphanage.
Borrow a child?
He would go to the local orphanages and give them a few bucks, and then they would take them and claim that that was their kid.
It's a rent-a-kid.
Yeah, exactly.
A regular size child?
Yeah,
doesn't matter. They would get babies.
They actually had one that they toured with for a while until that child outgrew the parents and it didn't look right. So, they never had children. In fact, Lavina's sister had she was a short person too, and she actually she died trying to give childbirth. So they never did try to have children. So that's the story of Tom Thumb. He they had had a very good life and made a lot of money, and he continued to tour for years. Eventually they were, they almost perished actually in a house fire. At a fire at a hotel, and they were saved. Both him and Lavina were saved at the...
They go down the laundry chute?
I don't know.
Dumb waiter. Now, at one point, wasn't there a scandalous sex tape?
No, they were not.
Ew!
There were no sex tapes with Tom and Lavina.
They were good. They were good people.
Yeah, they were very good people. And like I said, they became very wealthy. But in that fire was in 1883. 71 people actually died in that hotel fire. It was in Milwaukee.
Well, they could stay low under the smoke.
Well, no, actually their manager, Sylvester Bleeker, saved their lives. He carried, I guess, one out underneath each arm.
Carried them out?
I'm making that up. But he did save them, yeah.
I wonder if he just threw them out the window and somebody on the coast.
I don't know, but in any way, that was pretty traumatic with them, and then for them, and then with her sister dying right before that happened, they had a pretty rough period there. 6 months later, Tom actually died of a stroke at age 45.
Little people don't live long.
And he is buried now in Connecticut,
in a
shoebox? Bridgeport, Connecticut. Now I don't know about his coffin.
I believe they just used an orange grip.
But I don't know. Lavina died. She went on to live a long life. She died 35 years later. She remarried. But when she died, she was buried next to Tom's monument, and it simply says on her tombstone, "his wife." So she didn't get a lot
as
of props. She didn't get a lot of props.
She should have had props.
Yeah,
she was his wife. She'd have been a nobody. She'd just been a tiny short woman.
The causes of the Strattons, both Lavina and Tom's extreme shortness, is still unknown. X-rays were not discovered until 1895, 12 years after his death, and the medical technology of the day were unable to obtain the pathology underlining his dwarfism, but it's believed to be related to a thyroid issue. So that's it for Mr. and Mrs. Thumb. Yeah, they were pretty famous. So, Charles, you're going to tell us about a famous Siamese twin that also toured in...
Well, we do not like to call them Siamese twins.
It's
offensive.
Yeah, conjoined. I know you would. You are so sensitive.
Twins.
Yeah, so sensitive.
Now these are the Colorado brothers, and they're one of the earliest examples of conjoined twins ever recorded. Now they were strange in it. They were conjoined in a peculiar way. I believe that what happened was that Lazarus, who was fully functional, tried to eat his twin brother in utero.
What?
The guy's name was Lazarus?
What? Lazarus was a fully functional one.
Okay. He did not try to eat him?
Okay, so
we had Lazarus and Ioannis Baptista.
Okay.
Lazarus was fully functional here.
And he was just your normal guy.
He was kind of normal except for his brother growing out of his abdomen.
Yeah, just so people at home can picture this.
It's an icebreaker.
Yeah, it was. He not his legs now. He just had a head and a couple stubbly little arms coming out of it.
And his torso.
And his torso.
And his part of his torso.
Yeah, would protrude from his brother's stomach. So his brother's standing straight up, and his Lazarus is standing straight up. And his brother's name is, what's his brother's name?
Ioannis.
Yeah, okay, he's a
Jonas.
Depends
on
Ioannis.
It depends on where you're at.
He could go straight out like a table from his belly.
He's like an ironing board, basically, from
90-degree angle to his brother.
Face up.
Face up.
That's key.
Luckily, that is key.
Or he'd be looking at the ground all the time.
Well, he'd be looking at more than that.
I don't know that he looked at anything.
But okay. No, he was not a functional man. He made some noises and he did this and did that and. He did not like you rubbing on him. He would get quite aggressive, but he could only get so aggressive.
It's like a T-Rex with his arms.
Basically, yeah. I mean, but he had teeth. He had teeth.
He was a biter.
Bite your ass, yeah.
He was a biter.
So they had to feed him.
They had to feed him.
Okay.
He was covered with a cloak. Now this is before he was. This came along before Chang and Ing. The two
I'm telling you, I would pay 50 cents to see that.
Sorry.
That's your sweet ass.
They were even able to get an audience with King Charles I.
Who, Chang and Ing, or the first guy? Lazarus
not the Chinese
and Johann?
Guys, Lazarus and Johann, yeah.
Okay, so, just so I can picture this, Lazarus and Johann, or whoever, his brother.
Ioannis.
He's coming out of his stomach. So at nighttime, when Lazarus lays down to go to sleep...
They slept in shifts.
He's not a stomach sleeper.
They slept in shifts.
Ioannis is straight up then at that point, right?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's up all night. The guy that gets no sleep.
Well, no, he's because during the day his brother covered him with a cloak.
Sure. So he's like a bird. He went to sleep.
Yeah, but he's walking around. He's bumping into stuff. He's going shopping. He's taking care of chores.
And he probably got used to sleeping up like that. My concern would be if his hair got too long, it would get in my face.
Yeah. Well, I would not be concerned so much with his hair getting in my face as where he was. Where he was conjoined was right above Lazarus' genitalia.
So, okay. Like, if he was standing at... How would you stand at a urinal at that point?
Well, you'd hit somebody's head.
Well, you'd have to get your little brother to give you a hand now, I think.
No, because he's face up. How would he do that? He's just reaching behind him blindly?
Every time Lazarus went to the bathroom, he had to do a reach around.
Okay, this is really getting off. Okay, go ahead, Charles.
Now, he did get an audience with the king. Lazarus was known for his ability to pleasure women.
Oh, that's so gross.
Because he had all those parts, moving parts down there.
And he got quality women, I'm sure.
Oh, he got quality women.
Did he ever marry?
He never did marry. But
surprising.
His brother, his brother that grew out of his stomach, actually saved his life.
How did that occur?
Did he get married?
Lazarus was a little, he was a foul-tempered man. A foul, foul-tempered man. And one day someone made a joke that Lazarus didn't like. And Lazarus killed him. Now they took him before the judge and said, well, yes, we should kill Lazarus for this murder.
But so he was actually charged with murder?
He was charged with murder, but the judge said, and he was convicted of murder.
They charged both of him or just charged
just
Lazarus?
Lazarus, no, because the guy had no arms. He could not stab the other guy.
It would be difficult.
Had arms, it would be difficult.
That's pretty good in defense. You have no arms.
Yeah.
So they decided that it would be unfair to kill Jonas.
Well, absolutely.
Joanna.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Whatever.
So, because he was completely innocent.
So what did they do with him?
They let him go.
Probation or anything?
Not even probation. I believe they fined
him. In-house incarceration?
Electronic monitoring?
I believe they gave him an ankle bracelet for home incarceration for 6 months.
Maybe. And he couldn't give his brother an ankle bracelet.
He
could have blamed it. He should have blamed it.
A collar.
A collar.
Shock collar.
Shock collar, yeah.
In case he tried to run off.
So, but he was a... Now, Ioannis is what's known as a parasitic twin because he was solely dependent upon living from his brother. If his brother died, he was going to die. Okay. Unlike Chang and Ng, who could live on their own.
How would that work? So you would one of them could die and the other one could live?
Well, one would be dead weight.
Well, yeah, you'd have to drag them around. It would make it harder to get dressed.
And they would smell, I would think.
Well,
I would think
they have to be separated.
Okay, yeah, so how long did he live, Lazarus and Johannes? How long did they live?
They lived a full life, but they don't have an exact date of death. But he lived into, I wouldn't say old age, but he lived past his 50s.
Did they do okay with the freak show? I mean, they made a living at it? And they
made a living. He was quite a celebrity. He was basically his own freak show. So he went around, he would... Just free food. He made his living.
I feel
He's a
that
freelancer.
Way. I feel that way sometimes.
He's a freelancer.
I'm my own freak show.
Okay, well, thanks, Charles, for that enlightening story. And, Brandy, you're going to tell us a little bit about Lobster Boy, which I'm sure will be much, much higher quality than that last story.
Shorter. Well, you did not like my...
Oh, no, I loved it.
Okay. So the most famous... gentleman that was billed as Lobster Boy's name was Grady Stiles.
There were more than one?
There were several.
You can't swing a dead cat without
a lobster. You really can't. It's horrible.
Yeah.
But Grady was a freak show performer. And the deformity that makes the lobster claws what they're known as is ectrodactyly. The fingers and toes are fused together to form claw-like extremities. And therefore, they made his stage name Lobster Boy. His family had a long history of this particular deformity. He actually was the sixth in a line that began with the birth of his brother in 1805, William. His father, Grady Stiles' father, was a sideshow attraction. And when his son was born, then he had the same deformity.
He added him to his act. His dad married... That's a lie. He married twice and ended up having four children, two of whom had ectrodactyly. Yeah. They toured together as the Lobster Family. And when they were not traveling with the carnival, they lived in Gibson, Florida.
It's a place where
a lot of carnies live there in the off season. Yeah. It's Carney Central.
That must be a fun place in the winter.
Can't swing a dead cat without hitting a carny.
Carnies do not like cold weather.
No. They don't. However,
if you're a lobster boy, you can't. I mean, can't make a snowman or anything.
Right.
Well, no, but he was an alcoholic and he was extremely abusive.
He's a real prick, basically.
He really was. Due to his deformity, he couldn't walk, and he got around on his wheelchair. But most of the time, he used his hands and arms to move around. He just kind of pulled himself around or whatever. But it made him very, very strong, which made him very, very dangerous. So he had several run-ins with the law because of that. In 1978, in Pennsylvania... Stiles actually shot and killed his oldest daughter's fiance on the eve of their wedding. Now, it doesn't give a reason, just says shot and killed her.
So it could have had a comment.
I would want to question the
wedding gift.
I would want to question the gun that they used, but whatever.
The boy had no fingers.
Well, he had those two big fingers.
Shotgun.
I don't know. He was brought to trial and openly confessed to killing the man and was convicted of third-degree murder. Sound kind of goofy, but he was not sent to prison because they could not accommodate his deformity. So he was given 15 years probation.
What could he... His
little arms and little...
His little paws could cut through the cells there or
and
something?
And little feet.
See, that's what I don't understand. They gave him 15 years probation. What do they have hanging over his head if they can't put him in prison?
I don't know, but they... maybe the prison wasn't ADA, whatever. He couldn't get around in his wheelchair. I don't know. But he stopped drinking.
Sobered up.
Overachiever. He remarried his first wife, Maria, but he began drinking again after that.
What's the common denominator?
Exactly.
He became even more abusive.
More abusive than killing somebody?
Yes.
What, did he become the Axeman in New Orleans?
I don't know, but your word holes keep going, and I'm trying to do my thing. But, so, word holes.
Keep going.
So, in 92, Maria and her son from a previous marriage... hired a 17-year-old sideshow performer named Chris Wyatt. Gave him $1,500 to wipe out the Lobster Boy. So Wyatt walked up behind him, and on November 29th, 1992, popped a cap in his ass three times, the back of the head.
See.
Bow, bow, bow.
So Lobster Boy gets wasted.
So Lobster Boy is wasted. All three of them were brought to trial and convicted.
They didn't get probation, I take it.
No.
That's a discrimination.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell?
The kid that actually killed Lobster Boy was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to 27 years. The son was given life in prison, and Maria was given 12 years in prison for conspiracy, even though it was her idea.
Yeah, wasn't she just like saying something needs to be
done?
He
was going to kill my family. Well, he was, and I don't know. And it's hard to tell if it was like really planned, if she wanted him to do something. But now there was money. Money changed hands.
I thought she just said something like he's going to kill us, her son or whoever took a cue from that and went out and hired this guy. I didn't think she was.
It says her and her son hired a 17-year-old sideshow performer.
Okay,
there was consideration given.
There was, and they gave him $1,500. So
apparently not enough.
So he's dead, but that was as late as 92.
Poor guy.
Yeah, so...
I don't know that I feel sorry for him.
So Lobster Boy is down the tubes. But he traveled almost that whole time. He and his sons, you know, traveled with the carnival and showed off their lobster skills.
Have either of you been to a freak show?
No.
Besides from here? Yeah, besides here.
Besides here in Walmart, no.
Yeah. No.
Okay, Chuck is going to tell us now about Scrotum Man, or...
Briefly.
Not Scrotum Man.
Did he wear a cape?
This man is Jean Baptista dos Santos, and he was born down in Portugal in 1843.
Down in Portugal.
Yeah, now, the interesting thing about him is he had two completely functioning tallywhackers.
Tallywhackers? Is that also commonly known as penai?
Two functioning penai. Penises.
Which is plural for penises.
Yeah, the Latin penis, or the Latin tallywhacker. He had three scrota.
Scrota.
And four testicles. Now, two of his testicles climbed up back in there when he was 10 years old, so he only ended up with two. But he had four testicles.
Four testicles, two penis, and what, how many scrotums?
Three. Yeah.
So he had a lot going on down there.
Oh, he had
a quit.
He had a party going on down there. I hope the man was ambidextrous. If he was ambidextrous, he'd never have to leave the house.
He'd have been great.
So what did he do? I mean, did he just like go around and people look at his genitals?
He did not become a freak show performer so much as he made his living going around to medical experts and letting them study him for pay.
I think he just liked being fondled.
Well, you know, I'm not really sure, and you have not had this experience yet, Blue-Haired Devil, but which... He had three scroti. How did the doctor hold him and say cough?
He had to.
Well, maybe he had to do it three times.
Or he brought in his assistant.
They brought in an assistant, possibly.
Couple of assistants.
Yeah. He was very popular, obviously, with the ladies.
He's a ladies' man.
He was a ladies' man. He could,
If he would get charged with indecent exposure, would he get charged three times?
I don't know.
Well, no,
just twice. There's only two penai.
Oh.
Two penai, yeah. Not teabagging.
You get charged three times.
Three times. But,
Or six times.
He lived a full life. He died when he was 57 years old. He made his living traveling around medical circles, letting doctors examine him, take pictures of him, whatnot. Well, this was... 1843, make drawings.
Wouldn't you like to love to have that on your phone, though, so you could text it to people? If they want a picture of you, you can just text them your picture of your three peni or two penises.
No, yeah. I'm okay. I'm okay not doing that.
I'm just saying it would be, it would stand out.
You would stand out on Tinder.
It would be something interesting to add to your profile.
Do they know what the medical condition was that he had? Don't make up some Latin.
Multipus penalysis.
Multipus tallywhackeris.
Thank you.
I believe it was a medical condition that was not unheard of, but uncommon.
Wow. Well, thank you, Colonel.
And they were normal-sized penises.
Do you know the size?
What do you consider normal?
Well, one was 5 3/4, and one was 5 1/2.
He had 10 inches of pecker.
He had almost 11 inches of peni.
Yeah, but over two, you have to divide by two.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, well, thank you, Colonel, for that enlightening story. This keeps getting better. And Brandy, you want to tell us about, who's your next guy?
Francesco Lentini. Mr. Lentini was born, he absorbed his twin, and he was born with three legs and an extra set of genitals, and he also had a small penis growing out of his kneecap.
Charles, that has it over your guy. I'm sorry. That's weirder.
How many scrotums did he have?
I assume two.
Came out of his kneecap.
Yeah, they thought it was a thumb at first. But it wasn't.
I hear that a lot.
Okay, so...
I'm sorry.
The twin was absorbed, and he was attached to... Francesco's spine.
So total, how many peni did this man have?
Okay, you're going to have to take it easy just for just a second.
He had two genitalia and then one on his knee.
He actually...
Get your story straight. Come on.
He actually
had 4 feet. There was a... He had two sets That's of about functioning penis. Male genitalia. Okay, so I like... It wasn't a pecker coming out of his knee. It was... I know, I'm sorry. It doesn't go over on Chuck's guy, but it was his... I'm sorry. It was toes.
Oh.
It was a foot.
Oh, well, that's different.
Coming out of his knee. I know. It is different. I'm sorry.
You're embellishing the story.
I'm trying. Not really.
You were just trying to one-up.
I wasn't. Well, all right.
Had to have a pecker on the knee to beat.
So, I know. So his brother was attached to his spine. And he actually had... Lentini actually had 4 feet because their secondary foot protruded from his knee. He had 3 legs, 4 feet, 16 toes, and 2 sets of functioning male genitals. Now, to boot all of that, all his legs were different lengths.
Oh, well, of course man. Yeah, I mean, getting pants for size must be a hell.
Know. Well, you know, he needs lifts for shoes. Why would it be difficult
when you had 3 legs? I mean,
he's got a lot going on.
The same size, it would be...
He hated, obviously, as a child, he hated, you know, having these extra appendages.
Did he like soccer at all?
Well,
some bitch could play kickball like nobody's business.
Thank you. He couldn't have
Celtic soccer.
He couldn't have anything removed because everything was so close to his spine, and they were afraid that it would paralyze him.
When was this? When did this guy live?
It was 18...
Okay, so
1800s.
It was a long time ago.
1889.
Not like the three-penile guy.
No.
Chuck yet.
Okay. No, that's a whole other set of issues. But it was 1889. It was in Italy. Picture it, Sicily, 1889.
Yeah. Three-legged man.
Yeah. So, but he couldn't have it removed. His parents refused to acknowledge him, and his aunt kind of took him in and sent him and put him into a home for disabled children.
Uh-huh.
There... when he got to this home, he discovered these kids that were much, much worse off than he was, and he decided to pull his shit together, and he learned to walk. I know, they are worse off.
They were worse off than him.
They were.
I met a man with 3 legs. I was mad because I didn't have 3 shoes, and then I met a man with 3 legs. I don't know. I'm just
wow. Saying. So...
I don't know.
But anyway,
I just can't imagine anyone being much worse than that.
I complained about having 3 legs and
well, you know what?
No feet.
But they all functioned. I mean, all his legs functioned. They were all, you know, he could function. He was, you know, he was better off than some of those people that had mental deficiencies and things like that.
Today they would probably be able to do surgery or something.
Today they probably could. So anyway, so he learned to walk. He also learned to run, jump rope. He rode a bike. Had to be a bitch.
Pedal faster.
He rode a bike, and it was a big deal. He kicked a soccer ball with his extra leg. It was part of his act at the sideshow.
Did he have...
That he would kick the soccer ball.
Was it a specially built bike, or was it just a regular bike?
I don't know anything about his bike, per se. I didn't look up his bike.
So basically, you didn't do a lot of research on this, is what you're
saying. What I'm telling you is I didn't look up the damn bike.
How'd you like to watch this guy play hacky sack?
I would love that.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
So, at the age of 8, he came over to America and became an instant sensation. He was charming crowds. He was very smart. He had very quick quick wit.
Quick on his feet.
Quick on, exactly. Quick on. Plenty of feet. Sense of humor. He was very agile. He had, you know, basically, he'd mastered his legs by then.
Did they not call him the human tripod?
They did not.
They did not.
No.
So did he do pretty well at this sci freak show?
He did very career? Well. As he got older, he turned his performances more to doing interviews, more of a Merv Griffin type thing, where he would interview people because he was so smart. But he would conduct interviews while propped on his extra leg. He'd have one leg put up, and
you did know. He have a sidekick?
I don't think he had a sidekick. But he would take questions about himself and. He also revealed, showing his mental sharpness, he also revealed that he bought 2 pairs of shoes and gave the extra shoe to a one-legged man.
Oh.
So,
did
see,
he ever make the one-legged man kick in half?
I don't know. His charm did not go unnoticed, and he soon took a bride.
Oh.
They had 4 healthy children, and he continued to tour until he died at the age of 78 in, like, 1966 or something. You know, he worked for over 40 years with every major circus and sideshow, including Barnum and Bailey. and he was really liked and respected among his peers. So he did very well for himself, despite his malformation.
Yeah, and that's the way with a lot of these.
Did he learn to tap dance?
No, I don't know. But he could twerk like no other.
That's the thing with a lot of these.
He's a river dancer.
These performers is that you have to you have to wonder what kind of lives they would have had it not been for the sideshows and the freak shows, because you know a lot of them were able to make good money and have a good make a good living doing this.
My question is, could the lobster boy swim faster than Michael Phelps?
I don't know, but he couldn't swim faster than Mr. Lentini because he had all that propulsion behind him.
Okay, so this is a kind of a mean show. We're making fun of people and their deformities, but...
What?
They really did benefit a lot. Like I said, if it wasn't for the sideshows and the freak shows, a lot of them would have been just in institutions or something somewhere and wouldn't have been able to... make a living while with these sideshows, they were able to live a pretty good life. Like I said, in the case of Tom Thumb, he went on to be a very wealthy man and later became partners with P.T. Barnum. So we're coming to the part of our show where what we're calling the great debate. And the debate question today is, were the freaks victims who were being exploited? And first we're going to hear Brandy's side of the story.
No, they weren't victims. They weren't being exploited. Nobody took them hostage. Nobody made them perform. Nobody did anything. These people were given sanctuary at a time when people were not nice to people that were different. They were given sanctuary. They were given a job. They were given, you know, basically a family. A lot of them had been turned out by their own families. They were given a family. They were given purpose. And I don't think it's not like they weren't being paid. They were being paid. It was a job. There wasn't a big, huge... They had stopped the practice of actually making their own freaks back in the early days of freak shows. They made their own freaks. They would get these abandoned kids and screw them up and make their own freaks. But this wasn't the case in the ones that we were talking about. As it got later on, people would recognize that and didn't like it. So I don't think they were being exploited at all. I think they were given an opportunity. They took it. It allowed them to live richer, fuller lives than they would have perhaps done on their own.
Yeah, and even like today, you've got the reality TV shows. I made a joke about that earlier, but you do have the short people reality TV mm-hmm. shows. You've got the morbidly obese.
Yeah, one of the short people's a doctor, so I think she'd be all right without her reality TV show.
No, but my point is, even today, people are attracted to, you know...
To the odd.
To the odd, yes.
To the different.
And that's why they listen to this podcast. So, Charles, you're going to... Speaking of odd. What do you have to say to Brandy's argument?
Well, you blue-haired devil, clearly you haven't thought this through. And maybe you're just not able to, girl.
Be careful.
Sometimes I think if leather were brains, you couldn't saddle up a June bug.
I really regret teaching you that.
But I'm going to say yes, they were in fact taken advantage of. And I have a problem with this on two different levels.
Can you count that high?
First of all, I don't like these people being paraded in front of polite society. Why can't we just put them and take care of them, put them in a dark room somewhere, feed them every day, give them some comic books, maybe give them cable,
right?
Whatever.
Give them cable and comic books?
Cable and comic books and
what about PlayStation? Are you okay with that?
Yeah, PlayStation, except for the Lobster Boy. You'd have to get a special controller, but I don't want to be walking down the street and stumble across a three-legged man. I'm just saying. And it was bought and sold like so much cans of sardines. I mean, General Tom Thumb, they bought him. He was basically...
I think he was just rented.
Well, he was rented, but Commodore Nutt, he was bought. I mean, most of these people were just bought and sold like human trafficking. It's what we...
So you feel it's human trafficking?
It is, in fact, human trafficking. And I do not want to see them. Well, I'm liable to stumble across the bearded lady when I'm trying to eat my dinner, and she comes down into the Perkins and sits next to me.
Into the Perkins?
No. Yeah, I don't want to see her.
Yeah, there's a lot of people we didn't get to talk about. We didn't get to talk about sword swallowers, which I know is a favorite of yours.
A sword swallower is well, I will just leave it at that, but sword swallowing is a lost art, really.
Okay, so I have to choose a winner. I'm choosing the Colonel. I think he made a
best argument. Of course you are.
I'm thinking he makes
it. Of course you choose the Colonel.
Well, clearly it's human trafficking. So what you're
clearly
saying is,
you're both dillweeds.
So what you're saying is it's okay to buy and sell people. That's
clearly
what you're saying.
Clearly you're both dillweeds.
Okay, so thank you again for joining us. Join us next time. Look for us on iTunes and Twitter or at our webpage.
HistoryDweebs.com.
HistoryDweeb.com.
Yes. One dweeb, sorry.
Don't forget to go to our website and sign up for our new contest.
There's no contest. There's no prizes.
Facebook page.
Our Facebook page, or you can sign up on our Facebook page or our website.
That's not true.
The winner receives a date with Lobster Boy.
Oh, that's not true at all either. He's dead.
All right, everyone, thank you for joining us, and check us out next time. Thanks
good
again
day.
For... You have anything else to say there, Colonel?
Good day to all of you.
Brandy?
No.
Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.